Now, we have been talking about, I love the confirmation, God confirms His Word. I'm so thankful as a church we understand God confirms His Word, understand how God confirms His Word. We need to understand that so that we're not out in the ethers. I think Christians, let's just put it this way. I heard a minister say this. It wasn't me. I'm not taking credit for this. But he said, anytime you have a great move of God, the nuts fall out of the tree. And this is a horrible joke that's been used a lot. We don't want to be granola Christians, fruits, flakes, and nuts. So the Word dictates how we live and how we operate. And yes, sometimes it may seem strange to mankind, but we have a doctrine that we stand on, a guidance that we follow through. And so we want the Word to dictate our life. And hearing God, the answer is in His Word. How to live, the answer is in His Word. And so we constantly go back to His Word to see how to live. Now, culture may change. Do you know from my granddaddy's age to mine, words have taken on new meanings. But, you know, culture will constantly change. And I can promise you this, in another 10 years, culture will change. And some things that they say is okay right now will be wrong. And some of the things they say is wrong will be okay. Because with culture, time changes. But what I do want to get across to you is the Word of God never changes. It is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God will tell you how to listen to Him, how to tune into Him. And you can tune into Him whether you lived in 1920, 1620 or 2020, whenever we get there, to get into the message of God, to hear Him, see Him, to know how to operate in His body will stay the same, even though culture will completely change. The Word will be an anchor, even though the tides in weather is changing on the outside. How will the church make it through all these culture wars the same way we always have, is being anchored down, not one anchor. Let God's Word be established by more, two, three, four witnesses. In other words, we got to have God's Scripture on the inside of us. If we're going to last through this world, we're going to have to be anchored down on God's Word and stand strong, because culture will change, but God's Word will never change. When God speaks to us, He never violates His written Word. Who? If we could just get a hold of that, if the body of Christ could get a hold of that, we would save ourselves from a lot of problems. God told me to do this. Well, God's Word says this. I understand what God's Word says, but God spoke to me out loud. So you can take that word and go away with it, because I have heard from God. Even the devil shows up as an angel of light. We have to have God's Word on the inside of us, because there will be things that will come up and test God's Word on the inside of you. They will come to see circumstances, whether you realize it or not, circumstances are testing whether you believe God's Word all the time. Can I tell you something? There was a time in my life, well, it's all the time, but this is a good one. I used to work at a bank, and I remember I was off, and I was off a considerable amount, and I couldn't find it, didn't know what happened, had to write it up. Well, 2 weeks later, my drawer that slides in had a small crack on the side, and when I kind of bumped it, it moved, and I could see that money that I lost. It was right there. Somehow it fell down, and the first thought that crossed my mind was not from God. The first thought was, this is already written off. Doesn't even exist in the bank anymore. They've already put this against you. Even if you turn this in, you know what they're going to do? They're going to show that you were over now, and it'll be two marks against you, not one. So just take that, pocket that, and then you have some money to go shopping on. Oh, look, the Lord, He provides. So we have to have the Word of God on the inside of us to understand that wasn't ours to begin with. It is not honorable to take it. It is not honorable to take a 20, be short one day, and replace it when you get paid. Oh, hello. These are the things of God. See, the Bible tells us that if we work as unto God, not as unto man. And when I'm working for the Lord, I don't steal from the Lord. I don't shortchange him. I love him. I might like, you know, I love all of you, but I like the Lord. I like all of you too. I just want you to understand that. But there are some people that maybe I don't like so much, but I still treat them, even if I work for them. I've had some good bosses and I've had some bad bosses. Hello. But my attitude stays the same. My way of working stays the same. Why? Because I am anchored. When everybody else says, the boss is coming, look busy. I mean, like, I don't know any other way to look. Because I'm working as working unto the Lord. Y'all are blown one way and then the other. But I stay in the same place. Why? Because I'm stable. Why? Because God's word brings stability. If you feel like you're unstable, you've got to get in the word. That will bring stability. So God's word never violates what God will speak to you. If somebody, and we have this through all of humanity, Islam came about because something was spoken to an individual that came as an angel of light that violated God's scripture. And a whole religion came out of it. Why? Because somebody did not know the word. We have to be anchored. God will never speak to us that violates his word. I don't know how many times I've said it, but let's say it again. God will never speak something that violates his word. Look at your neighbor and say, God will never speak something that violates his word. So this is what I want to get to this morning. All that time is free. We won't even count it. We have got to be good stewards of God's spoken word. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Good stewards. Now, we talk about good stewards, we talk about finances. Got to be a good steward of God's finances. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. Can I tell you something? Children are blessings of the Lord. You got to be good stewards with your children. You got to be good stewards with the blessing of God, whether it's finances, whether it's property, whether it's his word. You have to steward every area of your life. Oh, let's get into this. Husbands, you need to be a good steward with your wife. All right. Thank you. I got a good amen. Guys, I'm going to give you a moment. Don't you let me down. But look, you did something to get her into your life. You dated, flowers, all this good stuff, right? Chocolates. And not the cheap stuff you can get at Walgreens. Amen. I understand if you're in a pinch, but you know, you got to go to David Baco. You got to go to some places. And you did something to woo and to get her into your life. And then you got her. And then you said, she's mine. Sweet wine, praise the Lord. And then you expect her to take the place of your mother. I told Jesse one thing when we got married. I said, I had a mother, I had a teacher. I love my mother. I didn't like my teachers. Don't take either of their places. That's funny in more than one way. Wives. You need to be good stewards of your husband.
Amen.
I thought we had this conversation. I said, men, don't let me down. I'm going to give you a moment. You blew it. You absolutely, or maybe you saved it. I don't know how your marriage works. But we have to be good stewards of everything that God has brought into our lives. We have to be good stewards. I want us to turn to Mark chapter 4. You have to be a good steward of what you hear. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start reading out of 24. And he said unto them, take heed. My grandmother Sadler came off of a farm. She used to use the word heed all the time. You better heed me, boy. You better heed to what. She would speak to her dogs, her chickens. She'd speak to everything. You better heed me. And those chickens should have listened. They probably would have lived longer. They probably would have lived longer. Can I tell you something? She would sit on the front porch with a 22. Those chickens, she'd be like, get out of the garden. She was a good shot. My grandfather used to say, Monk, he called her Monk. Her name was Monica. He called her Monk. Monk, don't you know those chickens don't hear, understand you? And she said, oh, no, they hear and they understand. They just ain't heeding. And I'm making an example of that one to all the other chickens. We need to be good stewards of what we hear. Can I tell you something that I tell my daughter? I tell Ellie, Lucy's not at the stage where I can tell her this at this moment, but I said, Ellie, I need you to listen to me and I need you to obey instantly. I need you to make a habit of obeying me instantly. You never know when what I tell you may save your life. You've got to listen. You may not understand why. You may not see the benefit at the time, but you need to listen and you need to obey instantly. I remember I was fishing with my granddaddy Sadler and my uncle Jimmy. And my granddaddy Sadler turned to my uncle and said, don't move. And he stayed perfectly still. And he said, what is it, Papa? He said, don't move. My granddaddy walked up to him, had his fishing pole, put it between his legs, and flicked. There was a cottonmouth right underneath him with his mouth wide open waiting to strike. Now, what if he would have said, Daddy, what are you talking about? Moved around. We've got to be able to listen immediately because God is not speaking to us for his own benefit to hear his voice. He's speaking for you to hear. Do you know, let's go to Malachi. We're not going there, but let me just bring up a scripture. Will a man rob God? We say, how can we rob God? We almost like, stick him up, Lord. I'm at the kingdom of heaven. I'm taking a couple of these bricks. I'm robbing you. That is not how we rob God. How do we rob God? It has nothing to do with the finances. You're not robbing finances from God. He's the God. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. But he has said, when you give, it shall be given. God wants to bless you. And what you do is rob the opportunity of him doing so. I remember I told my girl, I gave her something easy to do. And I said, if you do this, I'll give you this. And she didn't do it. And it so upset me. It so bothered me. And then I told her, I can't give you this now. And then she threw a fit. And I almost gave it to her. I almost gave it to her. And I thought, she's got to grow up understanding that my word is true. And that when I say something, I mean it. I can't just give in. And she robbed me. It upset me. The act was small. It was nothing. It was so tiny. And I didn't care about that tiny thing. But she robbed me of an opportunity to give her something that I so wanted to do. But because she didn't listen, I couldn't follow through on my end. So how do we rob God? We get into a place that he can't be God in our life. Mark 4:24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're heeding. With what measure ye meet, it shall be given measure to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, a lot of times we think of material, and that's so true. It is absolutely true. We have when God is talking about the talent, and most people want to be like, I'm talented, I can play. I've got my voice, I can sing, I got an instrument, I can do certain things, I can preach, I even know how to hoop a little bit. Jesus, hey, please tell me, you have seen, I forgot her name, Shirley off of, is it Shirley? Yeah. Green beans, tomatoes, potatoes, ham, lamb. Look at me now. Have you seen that? If you haven't seen that, go to YouTube and search green beans, tomatoes, potatoes. Now, there's some of those videos you shouldn't watch. There's a bad remix out there. Don't watch that one. But it is so fun. I have laughed so hard. Why? Because in church, sometimes we can get going. And it really, I mean, yes, there are some words, but there is a spirit there. And you can say mashed potatoes and you're going to get a shout. Green beans, tomatoes, potatoes. And it's so catchy that once it gets in your head, it stays there. So I want you to share in my insanity of that song. But this is talking about words. God is not talking about material things. He says, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that heareth shall more be given. The subject is words. I want to hear from the Lord. Lord, speak to us right where we are. And you know, we can pray pretty things. And we can sound pretty. We can dress pretty. We can play church. I love church. I even love playing church. Because sometimes in my office, I play church. Y'all don't know me at all. I can see it. Because sometimes in the morning, there may not be a lot of people in the office. So I can get a little... I came from a wild church. So sometimes I like to be a little wild. But I need to be the place where no one will see me. I don't want to scare people. Killian can testify to this. It was one time that I think I scared an entire Baptist campground. I didn't realize I was that loud, but I had a good time. And I enjoy praising the Lord. And I've had someone tell me, well, that's all flesh. I'm like, well, till the day I die. Till the day I die, this is with me. And I'm going to praise the Lord. And yes, some of it may be flesh. But I don't give a rip. What am I going to praise Him in?
That's right.
Now, the Spirit of the Lord always meets me where I am. Can I tell you, there was one time I praised God that I just wanted to be funny in church. And someone said something like, believe in God for a mate. And I said, yes, Lord. And jumped up, stuck my hands up. And then the Spirit of the Lord hit me and on the ground. And I stayed there for hours. I'm like... that's the last time I messed with the Lord during the service. But God is speaking about what we hear. And He says, if we do nothing with what we hear, then what we even hear shall be taken away. And I would just like to put this out there for your thought. Many people have heard from the Lord a vision, have heard from the Lord a ministry, have heard from the Lord what to do. How to settle an argument. How to settle something that's been going on for years through the family. How to move in a business. How to do this or do that. Or God has given them a vision and they hear it. And they've done nothing with it. No prayer. No asking God for guidance. No making small steps toward it. Because sometimes it's so large we look and say, how can we even get there? I have no idea how to get there. And so we never take small steps. I remember someone asked me this question. So, Tim, what are you believing for and what step are you taking today to get there? It says, even if it's small, how it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So if it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the little things that we're not doing or doing that spoil it, then it's the little things that we are doing that builds it up. It's the little things that we do every day. Don't get weary in well-doing. Why? Because in well-doing, you don't see a lot of changes. But you're building a foundation to stand on forever. You're building a foundation that your children can come to you in their times of need and say, Mama, Daddy, how did you make it through this? It's because you have a foundation where they have seen the world get crashed to the right and to the left and people sink all around them. But Mom and Dad have not got weary in well-doing and have stood on God's word and what He has told them, and they've seen it come to pass. And yes, it's true for your children, but the world is watching. They need someone to run to that has stayed stable, that has had a foundation. And I'm going to tell you, it is not getting weary and well-doing. You know how I talked about that money that I saw? It was $275 that was going to go against me for a second time. And we were only allowed to have so many in 6 months. And if we balanced for the majority in 6 months, we got a bonus. Somebody say bonus. Oh, yes, Lord. And I'm like, it's going to cost me my bonus. It's going to cost me my bonus if I report this. I reported it. Because it's those little times. Can I tell you? I reported it. I gave it to the branch manager. Now, I did this quietly because, one, I was embarrassed that I even did it. Two, the branch manager told other people. I can't believe this. Tim turned this money in. This is counting against him. This is two strikes. And he turned this money in that no one knew about. And so I had someone come to me and say, why did you do that? And our bonus, get this, our bonus was $600. And the amount, both those amounts, was less than my bonus. I said, why didn't you just take it? It would have saved your bonus. And I said, I can't. I live by principles. One time, I was in Minnesota, and I was working on a friend's home. And I needed some things at Home Depot. I needed some something to cut some piping. I needed something. I needed some seals. I needed certain things. And when you get to Home Depot and you look around, there's things that you don't need that you need. And so what would it, and I didn't get a cart because I only really needed two things. But then I found out I needed like 10 or 15 things. And so I'm piling it up. And then those seals that are 25 cent or less, stuck those in my pocket. Because I would get there and then I would put it all down. Guess who forgot to pay for the seals? I forgot to pay for a couple seals. I drove all the way back to Home Depot, walked back in the store to the guy who I checked out. And I said, these were in my pocket. I forgot. I'm sorry. I would like to pay for them. And this guy might have been 21. Might have been. And I don't know. He should have been in California. Because he's like, dude. You came back here for this? He's like, this is a little over a dollar. I said, I know. But I had to. No, dude. It's a dollar. It is a dollar. I said, I know. But I had to. And he goes, dude, no. And we had this conversation for a little while. And so I had to break it down. I said, look, God's word tells me that I should live honorable. And I can't live honorable knowing I've stolen, even if it's a dollar. I said, if it was a quarter, I'd have came back. And I'd have paid what I owed. And he goes, dude. The world is watching. They're going to need a foundation. They're going to need someone they can run to in their time of trouble. And we cannot get weary in well-doing. Because it's that well-doing that keeps us anchored. When no one's looking, what are we doing? And can I tell you, you may resemble me. You need some more work. You need some more improvement. So don't down yourself. Don't beat yourself up because you're still working on you. Don't beat yourself up. Recognize. Be real with yourself. I'm so thankful for Christianity that is not fake. We have moved from CNN. Come on. If you haven't been paying attention, fake news, right? Come on, people. Stay up with common times. But we could probably put all of them in that category. They're all after ratings. They wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for ratings. And so we've gotten out of fake Christianity where we have this front. And by God, you speak bad about me or against me, I will cut you. You don't know me. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'll kill you and tell God you died. That's been the mentality of the church, and sometimes I'm okay with it. But in most instances, that is not the way to live, to be mean and hateful and to pretend we have it all together. And when someone else falls, oh, so sad. I'm trying to think of someone's name who's not here. I can't think of a pretend name. So, Sister So-and-so, isn't it sad? Oh my God, I didn't see that coming. She disobeyed the Lord. It's so sad. We should pray. Let's call some people up and tell them and pray for her right now. Bless her heart. How about you just go before the Lord and leave other people out of it? Not hurt people, but build people up. Build them up. That's what God does. He builds people up. He doesn't tear them down. The world will tear people down. We do not resemble the world. I mean, look, okay, CNN. Y'all paid attention to this, right? Some 15-year-old boy made a meme about them. Do you know this story? A meme. And they got so upset. It was a meme where the president was, he appeared on WWE, or F, I don't know what time, and he put the smack down. And so the teenager replaced the head of the person they smacked down and put CNN's logo right there. CNN got so upset that they found this 15-year-old boy and made him apologize, or they said, "We will come after you. We will expose your name to everyone. And they will be after you if you don't apologize." And he apologized. And they said, "Well, we will not reveal his name because of this." Because he apologized. And the church has operated that way so many times. Until you conform to our way of doing things, we will get you. You are on the outside. To come inside, you must do and act like we do. And you've heard the lady. You heard the lady who was Sister No Better Than You. And she was in everybody's business. And there was a man who just got saved. And she came up to him in front of the whole service of people. And she said, "I saw your car outside the bar. And we all know what you were doing." And he didn't say anything. But that night he took his car and parked it in front of Sister No Better Than You's house. And he walked home. I think she left him alone. The main point I want you to get this morning is that we are accountable for what we hear. You are accountable for God's word, and God will speak to your heart. He will guide and direct you into new things. He will give you dreams and visions. And you know, I'm going to give you 10 things really quickly here, and I'm done. I'm going to give you 10 things that God will speak to you, the ways that He will speak to you. Now, these 10 ways are not the only way. They're not it. I'm not giving you an exhaustive list. I'm giving you a short list, a 10-thing list. Are you ready? Number one, He'll speak to you through circumstances. I want to be very clear, God is not the author of some of these circumstances. But He'll use circumstances to speak to you. Jonah and the whale. Oh, we say whale, big fish, right? That's one of them. That's one way that He used that, and we'll get back into that at another time. But God spoke to His circumstances through counsel. I am a huge believer in counsel. Through counsel. Now, we see this through God's word. Proverbs tells us clearly that God speaks through counsel, through peace. Oh, my goodness. If you get anything, get it through peace. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule or umpire in your hearts. Philippians 4:7, let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, because you face some circumstances that you need to get over from understanding. Understanding will hold you back, and you've got to get to the other side of understanding, which is following peace. I remember we didn't have the Boy Scouts when I grew up, but people still wanted to teach us certain things. And I remember they put a bag over our head and gave us a compass. It was big enough that we could have a compass on the inside. And they gave you a piece of paper with coordinates, and they wanted to see. They marked it off, and they wanted to see if you could follow. You could not see. You could not use your physical sight of understanding where you were. You had to go by something completely different. And we were able to follow the path that was set before us and end up at the right place by following the instructions that were written down and the compass on the inside of you. God, your peace is a compass from God, and He will lead you by peace. Sometimes you'll look at the circumstance and say, "I have no idea, but I have peace in my heart. God is leading, guiding, and directing me." And so through peace. Now, number four, through people. Number five, dreams and visions. We have this with Jacob, Joseph, and we have plenty of more. Number six, through thoughts. Matthew 1 and 20 tells us that Joseph thought upon these things and an angel of the Lord spoke to him. Number 7, you know, let me go back to thoughts. God will use what you're thinking about to teach you a lesson and to show you things. Don't discount that. Number 7, natural manifestations. John 12 and 19 says that people stood by and heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said it sounded like an angel spoke to them. A lot of times God will speak to you through what's going on, natural phenomena around you. Number 8, supernatural manifestations. The burning bush, the fleece, and a donkey. I mean, that's just some of them. And I always love to say this, if God can speak through a donkey, He can speak through you. Amen. Number 9, through the Bible. Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number 10, a still small voice. A leading on the inside. Kings 19 and 12 says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. God is speaking to us. Are we listening? Are we tuning in to what God is saying? Now, the methods and things that are going on today will look different than it did 20, 30, 40 years ago. But the method of getting there is still the same. God's word and listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The church is not going to look the same. Can I tell you this too? Let's talk about, you know, our logo. I'm about to change it. I'm not interested in my logo being the same in 20 years. How boring. You know, a lot of churches go 35 years and the logo is still the same. My meemaw made that logo, and if you change it, I just leave here right now. I'll take that logo with me and start the same church. God bless it. We will not stay the same. We're going to change. We're going to constantly change. We're going to constantly change. I thought God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. He is. He is. His word. We're not changing His word. But we're changing how we get it out there. We're changing how we get it out there. So God has spoke to you this morning. God has spoken to you throughout your past. What are you doing with the words He has spoken to you? A lot of us want to hear a new word. God's waiting for us to do what He already told us to do. I believe the body of Christ is not suffering from a lack of new words. I think we suffer from people who are hearers and not doers. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. But ask Him right where you are, God, what are You trying to tell me in today's message? What are You trying to say to me today? And I want us to take a moment and listen. I believe the Lord is speaking to you right now. And you're beginning to pick up and hear what it is God is saying.